You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, I'm very pleased to say, joined by Adam Credo. He is a senior writer at the Washington Free Beacon and has done simply incalculably important work chronicling many of the most important national security issues, controversies, and threats of our time. It's always a delight to have him with us to talk about his reporting at the Free Beacon, and I welcome him back for that purpose. Adam, good to have you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You have recently written about the ongoing saga of the Hillary Clinton email scandal and have pointed out that one of the particular affronts, in fact, I guess Donald Trump has talked about other aspects of this, but one of the particular affronts is the seeming purposeful, deliberate, and systematic thwarting of congressional oversight, and indeed even congressional subpoenas for some of the information about how her email transactions may have compromised national security through leaking of or otherwise making accessible classified information. Talk about what's going on with that, Adam, and its implications.
Sure. Well, it's clear that there's intentional evasion here on part of Team Clinton. So Congress has moved forward with the next step, and it's actually quite unusual. I believe it's the first time ever that Congress has moved forward to holding contempt a private company, and that company is called Platte River Networks. They were the people that maintained Clinton's server and kept it in shape and have clear documentation about the vulnerabilities in this server, potential hacks on this server. Congress has been looking for these documents. The company refuses to turn them over and will now most likely be held in contempt. The thing that's most interesting here to me, though, is it seems that Congress has evidence that Platte River was told not to turn these documents over at the request of Hillary Clinton's legal team. So it shows really a clear link and evidence of Clinton continuing to thwart the investigation while claiming she's being completely transparent on the issue.
Let me turn to another story that you broke, I gather, to the considerable displeasure of the National Security Council under Barack Obama, namely that the National Security Advisor to the President of the United States, Susan Rice, has acknowledged, we now know from WikiLeaks, in her background investigation, having used not just marijuana, but hallucinogenic drugs and of unknown kinds for some period of time up till 1990. I know the president has copped to having used illegal drugs as well, but what do you make of this? And specifically, Adam Credo, knowing what you do about this national security business, would a person with that kind of background have, under ordinary circumstances, found it very difficult to get a security clearance?
Well, my understanding is that this type of thing should actually disqualify you. Why it didn't is completely unclear to me. The administration obviously isn't going to talk about it, but to pull it back a little bit, the leaked documents, this came from the WikiLeaks document dumps of the Podesta emails and other things. Rice's SF-86 was in there, the background check form. And what we saw in it is that she is asked, have you ever done hallucinogenics, PCP, LSD, prescription pills, all of these things across the line. She checks yes and further discloses that she got high, as she claims, infrequently, but at least up to June 1990. It's interesting that there's such a specific date on there, and she also lists a very specific start date somewhere in the 80s. Whether or not this type of thing disqualifies you from getting clearance, I'm not certain. Some people have said that, yes, it's supposed to, and other people have actually told me that, no, it's not a disqualifier, and maybe if it's just marijuana, that might be the case. I'm really unclear on it at this point.
Hey, let me turn to one other topic that you have covered really very effectively, Adam, and that is the Iran deal, you've reported from the get-go that this was really, my words, not yours, I guess, but fraud, national security fraud, one piece of which is the endless succession, it seems, of concessions that have been made to the Iranians that can only have emboldened them to do still worse behavior than they've already been engaged in, which is saying a lot. Talk, if you would, for the moment, about the recent report you've done on Iranian attitudes about American hostage taking that might prove to be lucrative in the future, as it has in the past.
So it's interesting to see here that earlier this year, when we gave Iran this $1.7 billion in cash, untraceable cash, several months later, the State Department put out a travel warning that Iran is looking to abduct U.S. citizens. And I think most of us who cover this said, well, yes, of course they're looking to capture U.S. citizens. When you give them $1.7 billion, what other conclusion can they jump to? So let's flash forward to now. And of course, that's the exact case. Iran has captured more U.S. citizens and is now looking, as they put it, for many billions of dollars from the Obama administration. And it's very likely they'll get it. The administration has admitted that they're working on several new legal settlements with Iran and other side deals apart from the nuclear agreement to deal with Iran. So the other thing here that I think is interesting is that just a month or a month and a half ago, the Obama administration flat out vetoed legislation that would have banned them from giving further ransom payments to Iran. And I think now we're seeing why they did that for this specific reason. They plans all along to give them more money.
Adam, I just have to tell you, my feeling about this is that the more this kind of behavior goes on, the more that you see President Obama at every turn making further concessions, even ones that are clearly calculated, as we're being told about this deal. Some of that money may have turned up in the form of arms to Houthi rebels who are using them against American naval vessels. This is the kind of chickens that are coming home to roost. I just have a working theory that maybe some of this money is going to be sloshing back to the president after he leaves office, in the form of his, I don't know, his library or his foundation or something else. He claims he's going to set his sights on raising $1 billion. But I have a hard time figuring out how anybody could justify this kind of behavior unless it's got that kind of sort of corrupt motivation. Do you have a better explanation?
Well, I mean, that's certainly an interesting theory. If it came to fruition, would actually be one of the few things that would probably shock me in the world. That would be absolutely shocking. I think what we're seeing here is something that we can trace back very much further in the Obama administration, even back to the beginning of it. And this is why I think you made such a good point here, that the Obama administration entered office already bending over backwards to Iran. That was rhetorically. It started at that point, the president and his most close advisors saying, we're ready to extend the hand to Iran. Now, we all know the Iranian mentality, the mentality of a hardline Islamic extremist regime. They saw that as weakness, and they've been exploiting that very thing ever since, from the nuclear deal and the last minute concessions they forced out of the administration to post-nuclear deal, the concessions they continue to wring out, and now with these continued ransom payments.
Adam Credo, thank you very much for your terrific work in covering this beat and so many others in the national security sphere at the Washington Free Beacon. It is truly an indispensable service. We appreciate your time visiting with us as well. I hope you'll get to do it again very soon. Next up, we'll speak with Representative Lee Zeldin. Straight ahead.